Hey, we're joined right now by Rowan Scarborough. I know everyone talks about the Navy operation that took down bin Laden, and we've learned to really appreciate the Navy SEALs. Many have written books. Most of all of them have become bestsellers. We also know the one that's top five correctly was the one from Mark Owen, that's his pseudonym, who writes about what really happened. And now he's gotten all kinds of trouble in the bin Laden because writing the book about the bin Laden operation, the real account, because he lived it and worked it and is now out to write about it. The Pentagon's basically suing him. They're threatening all types of sanctions against him, including taking some of the proceeds and profits. These are the guys that leave the military salaries that usually about $35,000 a year, yet they're asked to protect America at a level and in a way and at a personal risk that's beyond most of our comprehension. But when the administration wants to talk about doing a movie about bin Laden, they can do it. When the administration wants to talk about doing a video game about bin Laden, if they sanction, they can do it. Is there a double standard here? You bet. And it's written about by Rowan Scarborough, a national security writer, and he wrote this story in the Washington Times. Rowan, welcome back.
Hey, great to talk to you, Brian. Hey,
Rowan, I found you so aggravating to read your story, What is the Pentagon's Policy on Artistic Aid? First off, we know about the movie that's coming out right now, Oh Dark 30. We cooperated with that on every level, right?
And who knows how much information we gave them that was possibly classified or confidential. I mean, the CIA opened their doors at Langley to the director and the scriptwriter, showed them a model of the raid, gave them a point-by-point chronology of how it was done, made the translator available who was on the raid to tell them about how it went down, and then urged U.S. Special Operations Command to make SEALs available as consultants to the movie makers, you know. Yet, and I mean, this all came in anticipation that the movie would be out before the November 6th election. But at the same time, they go after Mark Owen, you know, for writing a book that, in my opinion, had less detail than was leaked by the Obama administration to the New York Times and the New Yorker and to the filmmakers. And, you know, they've gone after six SEALs rather harshly because they were consultants on a video game. So to some in the SEAL community, there's a schizophrenia here. There's a double standard. I mean, they look at the administration using SEALs when it helps them from a public relations standpoint, but then they do something on their own that they think is okay, and they get punished or threatened with jail.
You know, it's amazing. It's, for example, if you retire from government, if you're the Vice President of the United States or if you're the Secretary of State, you can write a book. You're out of government. You can write a book and talk about stuff. You're the former director of the CIA. But if you're a Navy SEAL who has to go make a living, you're in your 30s, you don't have a great pension, you got the same one as you do if you've served in the band, nothing wrong with that, but the Navy SEALs are at much more personal risk. Then you go ahead and write about your expertise. There's all types of limitations.
Well, you know, in Mark Owen's case, I mean, you know, the Pentagon is saying he should have shown us the transcript ahead of time, or the manuscript ahead of time, and his lawyers say, you know, the way we interpret the deal, he did not have to do that. But to me, the bottom line is the guy put really no classified information in the book that I can see, and I've talked to retired SEALs who read the book and said they saw nothing classified in the book. The tactics that he described on how we got into the compound, how we went through different rooms, I mean, that's standard operating procedure that you can Google and read about. Yet they choose to threaten this guy with prison. I mean, the harshest punishment you could possibly come up with for a book writer. At the exact same time, the White House, the National Security staff is just pouring information out into the mainstream media about how this raid went down because it helped them politically. That's the only conclusion I would draw.
So you think they're going to follow through with this?
When I checked with his lawyer, they still had not heard from the Pentagon on what they're going to do. It's very dicey for the administration. It's politically risky because of all the leaking that they've done themselves about the raid. I mean, I took the New Yorker article, which quotes White House officials by name talking about the raid, and in the SEAL community, they were told that a SEAL was ordered to give a briefing. One of the planners was ordered to give a briefing to the New Yorker, something the New Yorker did not deny. And then, I mean, how can you do that but then put a seal in prison for disclosing less information that you, the White House, disclosed.
For one thing, that's so outrageous to be that show that lack of appreciation because you didn't go through the checks and balances that you believe they should have gone through to threaten him like that after he delivered in many respects was your reelection.
Yeah, and subsequent to that, as the story points out, they ordered or allowed two active duty SEALs to go to New Mexico to help with another movie. This is the lone survivor, Marcus Luttrell, you know, the doomed mission in Afghanistan in 2006. So, you know, again, you have an example of when Special Operations Command and the administration thinks it helps them from a public relations standpoint, they unleash the SEALs. But then when they go off on their own a little bit, there's heck to pay.
But so, it's more than just Mark Owen. Mark Owen, too, right, Rowan Scarborough?
Yes, exactly. And they, you know, to the SEAL community that I talk to, you know, what's the example that they're setting for us? It seems to me the example is we can go out and make a buck, you know, as long as we don't disclose classified information. And that's what these two groups of SEALs believe they did.
It's outrageous. It's outrageous. You can't pretend to be in the best interest of our military and do all you can for the men and women who serve and fight for us and just have a few medal ceremonies at the White House. But in reality, you're doing more damage with this behind the scenes.
Well, I tell you, if the economy was better, they would have a more difficult time keeping SEALs under this current environment because, you know, as you read in the Mark Owen book, I mean, there's a lot of resentment in the SEAL community toward the Obama administration just on some of the positions they take from a national security standpoint. So I think the poor economy helps the administration now because it's difficult to go out there and find a job. But you made the point, these SEALs, to get to the SEAL Team 6 level that they've that's a decade of training, a decade of sacrifice at relatively low pay. And, you know, and now in one sense, they helped one video maker understand some realistic tactics about how things are done, and boom, their careers are over. They got reprimanded and fined, and they'll have to leave now because they won't. There's no chance that they will get promoted. Yeah, but ironically, that is the exact same thing that the SEALs did in the movie Lone Survivor. They were sent in to show the director and the actor how we move along the ground, how we hide, how we use weapons. I mean, that's the same stuff they showed the video makers, and yet, you know, their careers are over.
And by the way, the ultimate commander of Special Forces is coming out with a book right now, McChrystal. And Gilkow, he was dismissed after one article in which he wasn't even quoted and how his career came to an end.
That's
an overall lack of respect for the most skilled operators we have in America.
That's right. And McChrystal, you know, he's the guy who got Zarqawi in Iraq.
You know, that's all?
McChrystal is the guy who took Joint Special Operations Command, which is the SEALs Delta Force, and he turned it into a combined task force with throwing intelligence operatives in there, surveillance, overhead surveillance, and linking them all together in this tremendously effective machine for going out and hunting down high-value targets and killing or capturing them. I mean, he made a contribution to JSOC, as it's called, that's probably never been done in history. And for his, you know, for his efforts, he basically got canned because a Rolling Stone writer, you know, probably went a lot farther in what he reported than was actually said by the people that he hooked up with. But ironically, his book got held up after this hubbub, after they went after Mark Owen, and after they went after some other SEALs, all of a sudden they said, whoa, let's make sure we didn't let anything get out in the McChrystal book that we shouldn't have. So they re-looked at that, and he had to delay the date of publication by about 3 months.
Rowan Scarborough joins us, national security writer of the Washington Times. He also wrote a book on the CIA and Rumsfeld, and New York Times bestseller called Rumsfeld's War. And he's just pointing out and doing the dirty work for the SEALs because they don't stick up for themselves. They don't really have a mouthpiece or communication staff. they're out trying to make a living. So what do you try to make a living at after you're out? Personal security, you're an expertise. You might become a speaker and you know, forbid all, if you decide to talk about your expertise in a book or a video game, they're prevented to. But meanwhile, sure to be a top box office smash hit, maybe even movie of the year, Oh Dark 30, about the ultimate Navy SEAL operation. It's okay if they tell you to consult with them and give away their secrets, but you just can't give away your secrets. Rowan, I want to bring you to another topic you wrote about yesterday. How in Libya did the Muslim Brotherhood inherit our equipment?
In Egypt.
In Egypt, excuse me.
It is another ironical situation. Here, you know, we have poured F-16s and M1 tanks, two of our most powerful frontline weapons that we've ever developed and that we sell to allies. And we've been giving them to Egypt for the last 20 years or so to bolster their military. And suddenly the political climate there has changed 180 degrees. We've gone from a stalwart ally who helped us in just about every aspect of the Middle East to the Muslim Brotherhood and a fairly radical regime, which is now making threats about ending a peace treaty with Israel and could become the new Iran. And what's happening? We're continuing to pour F-16s and M1 tanks into Egypt. You know, they're going to get 20 more next year. They're going to get 200 more tanks. And it's become highly, highly risky for the Obama administration to continue to send these weapons into Egypt when we're really unclear about the ultimate intentions of the Muslim Brotherhood.
Thanks, Rowan. Good stuff. And did you get a good reaction from writing this story about the Navy SEALs?
I did. A lot of people like you agree that they're sending mixed signals to the SEALs.
Well, I talked to a few in the community, and they were really thankful you did it. And I just hope you